The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Take your Bible and go back, if you will. Thank you, family. 2 Timothy chapter 4. By the way, we had a wonderful activity yesterday. Brother Aaron and Mrs. Aaron did a great job. We had a singles activity. And can you imagine? 44 singles came out from the church, did a great job. Filled a bus full of singles. These are young professionals and people that's in our Bible college. And man, it's just great. And that's even before college gets in session. Can you imagine what's going to happen then? But just fantastic. And they went down. They did putt-putt golf. They did bumper boats, and then go-karts. And so they had a great time. And matter of fact, they had such a great time, they just wanted to keep going till midnight. And that didn't happen, but I'm saying they just had a great time with it. And that was neat. I was talking to some of the singles out in the hallway. And man, Brother Aaron, Mrs. Aaron's doing a great job. The singles department walked by there this morning, jam-packed full. Not a seat that was empty, and just great, and they're doing a super job with that. We appreciate that so much. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6, he says, I'm now ready to be offered. Of course, the Apostle Paul here is talking about now it's time to go home. I'm getting close to go home, and now it's time. I remember my grandmother was having some ill health, and my grandmother, as she got older, she said, I think I'm going to die, but I don't want to die in bed. I don't want to die laying down. And she said, so I'm going to sit up in the chair. And it was her favorite chair. And she said, I'm going to sit up in the chair. And she said, now, Mike, don't you be surprised if tomorrow morning when you wake up to get breakfast that I've gone home to be with the Lord while sitting in my chair. And so I would get up to eat breakfast the next morning. I'd walk in, and I was scared. I was a young guy. And so I'd go over to Grandma, and I'd go, you okay? And she'd look up and she would say, oh. I said, what's wrong? She said, I made it through the night. She just wanted to go home to be with Jesus, And so she sat up in the chair. And finally, the Lord took her home, but she went home while laying in the bed. And she told me, she said, I'm just going to give up. God will take me when he's ready. And then I know she was disappointed that she went home to be with the Lord while laying in the bed, because she wanted to sit up while she was doing that. But she knew her time was coming. She knew her time was getting near. And here's what Paul is saying to young Timothy, young man in the faith, young man, if you would please, in the ministry. He gives him some exhortations as you begin to read verses 1 through 5. And then he says, well, let me sum it up with this. He said, I am now ready to be offered. He said, the time of my departure is at hand. He said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. It's very important that a person finishes their course. Now, let me give you some things to think about this morning as we talk about the Christian course. God has a course. Here's what he says distinctively there. He says, I've finished my course. In other words, he looks back and he says this. He says, I want you to know one thing that I remember is I fought a good fight. Another thing I remember is I did finish the course that God laid down before me. Another thing I remember is I have kept the faith. Let me give you some things to think about when it talks about finishing that course. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, the Bible says, be confident in this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. All right, in order to finish a course or to complete a course, in order to run that Christian's course, here's what we have to understand. First, you have to start. You have to start. Boy, I remember the day I got saved, July 24th, 1979, 8:35 at night, Reese's Carnival Ground, Westminster, Maryland. I remember that, and I remember bowing my heart, receiving Christ as Savior. Can I tell me that was not an end, that was a start? Now, here's what he says for those of you that are new Christians. He says this. He said, you be confident in this thing. This very thing, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. So onto the day of the calling home of the saints, onto the day when you see his appearance, onto the day when you meet him face to face, here's what he says. He says, I've got a good work I want to perform in you. Now, God wants us to be able to rise up and be able to do that good work. You got to start somewhere. Somewhere in your life, after you become a Christian, you have to start reading your Bible. Somewhere in your life, you're going to have to start walking with God. Somewhere in your life, you're going to have to start memorizing verses. Somewhere in your life, you're going to have to start being faithful to church. Have to start obeying your parents. Have to start giving your tithes. You're going to have to start somewhere and giving to missions. These are all things we need to start. Maybe you need to start attending a Sunday school class, gradually work up, becoming a worker in a Sunday school class, gradually work up, and becoming a teacher in a Sunday school class. But it's all about starting. You got to start somewhere. You got to show up. You got to get in the blocks. You got to begin to move forward. Maybe you need to start working in a nursery. Start singing in the choir. Start working on a bus route. Start having some Bible convictions. Start listening to the right music. Start dressing a godly way. Start seeking the will of God. Start going soul winning. Start studying your Bible. Not just read it a little bit, but study it. Start having a family altar time. One of the best things you could ever do if you have young children is to have a time at night. Doesn't matter how deep it is, but have a time at night where you and the children sit down and you read a verse or you have prayer. When they're young, that's important that you have that in your life. Why? Because it sets a pattern for them later on to have their private devotions. Sets a pattern for them later on to see the importance of walking with God. And by the way, you can have family devotions or family altar time. You can make it fun. Amen. You don't have to make it boring. I remember when we had the family altar time when their kids were real young. And man, we would act out the Bible stories. And I would play David and Goliath. And we would have one of the boys sometimes as he got older to give devotions. And you'd be surprised what they got out of their Bible. And you know, they would come up with stories, thought, where's that found in the Bible? But they would begin to act some things out or begin to teach a Bible truth. And then, but I remember when they were real young, here's what they'd do. We'd bow our heads for prayer and we'd go around the room. And we always started with the younger and go up to the older. And the younger would always do this. They'd always look around the room and pray. Dear God, I pray that light would stay on. Dear God, help the ceiling not to fall. God, I pray for that's crawling on the floor. And mom would go, ah. They did what Paul did. Paul said he would watch and pray. They were just practicing Bible, all right? And so what do? You start somewhere. You know, hey, it would be good if you're saved, tell your face, start smiling. Start smiling. Start enjoying your Christian life. Stop putting yourself under so much pressure. Hey, it'd be good. Maybe you could start being an usher. Need some men to rise up. Be an usher. Maybe you could help by helping out around the church. You could walk around, and when you see paper, instead of stepping over it, maybe you could pick it up. Anything like that is a help. Maybe you could help by saying amen in church. I said, maybe you could help by saying amen in church. Amen. You know, can I help you out a little bit? People that come here as visitors, they can go to any dead church in the metro. But when they come to Parkside Baptist Church, it ought not be a dead church. Amen. We're not gathering for a funeral service right now. Now, by the way, be respectful. When you attend the service, if you will, please, as the service is rendered. So when you go to a funeral service, you act one way. When you come to church, you act another way. Okay, here you go. Here's a guy sitting back there, not saying you are, but here's a guy sitting back there, all of a sudden preacher's preaching and his head begins to dab. Like he's tired, had a rough night, getting ready to fall asleep. All right, if you shout amen, you might help him. Now you might shock him, but you might help him. Now, my Bible does say this, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So if that be true, you know what amen is? Can I help you out a little bit? Amen is saying, go sick them to a preacher. That's what amen is. Here it is. You're saying, I agree with what he just said. Can I help you out? Can I help you out? Bible says, he that hath the Son hath everlasting life. Amen. You know what you just did? You just agreed with truth. Right. The Bible says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Amen. You just practiced truth. Wasn't that fun? The Bible says, forsaking not the assembling of themselves together as the matter of some is, so much the more as you see the day approaching. Amen. Wasn't that fun? Didn't you feel that release? Hey, did you know this? That you can come to church. I'm sorry, but people come to church. It's like, oh, you know, God made me come to church. God had a mallet over my head, and I felt it, and I knew he was going to lower the boom if I didn't go to church. Hey, church ought not be that way. You don't have to be liberal. You don't have to be contemporary. But you can come to church. You can enjoy church. You can enjoy preaching. You can enjoy the Word of God. You can enjoy people getting saved. You can enjoy the baptismal waters being stirred. Hey, thank God for church. I'm saying this. I'm saying you got to start somewhere. You just got to start somewhere. Some of you need to start coming back on Sunday night. Be good for you. Be good for your wife to see you there. Be good for your children to see you there. Hey, just start. Start. Somebody needs to come to the altar. Why? Just to start. You know, hey, are you ready? So, all of a sudden, preacher's preaching. And Holy Ghost gets a hold of you. I mean, boy, he just kind of rings you out a little bit. And God speaks to your heart. And you take that big step. You take that big step. You come down the aisle. You get down the aisle. You kneel. You never did that before. Matter of fact, the carpet looked up and said, who are you? You never did it before. But you kneel, and all of a sudden you pray, and you get up, and you say, man, that felt good. That just felt good. Hey, can you imagine first time you ever go up to somebody and pass them out a gospel tract? You know, you give them hey, it just feels good. I visited Mrs. Williams yesterday. She's in a care facility. I have never seen a care facility like this one. Because when you go up to it, it looks like you're going into one of these cabins that's up in the country area somewhere. I mean, this thing it's nice. Matter of fact, Brother Aaron was my soul winning partner all afternoon yesterday. Spent a lot of time together, just enjoyed each other's company. I'm walking into this place. I look at the lady that's working there as the receptionist, and I said, I got one question. She said, what? I said, how do I get in? She said, you're already in. I said, no, I want a room. This is nice. We went over and saw Mrs. Williams, and Mrs. Williams, you know, laying there. Of course, we're just having fun. And if you know her is to love her. You know, and so we went in, and we were spending time with her and loving on her and encouraging her. And I walked outside, and Dejana was there. And of course, she's here this morning. I appreciate that. But she was sitting out there, and I said, hey, look, I said, this is so nice. Do you have an extra room? And she said, you're kidding. I'm serious. Hey, this is really nice. I said, maybe I just need to get sick or get old and move in. And so we started talking, and she had a delightful spirit. And I said, where do you go to church? And she said, well, you know, I need to go to church. And I said, well, let me ask you. I don't want to get you in trouble. You're at work. I respect people at work. But let me ask you a question. Do you know for sure you're going to go to heaven? And she said, well, no, I don't know that. I said, I don't want to get you in trouble. You're at work. Would you be allowed to sit down with me and let me take the Bible and show you some things about going to heaven? Would that be okay? She said, sure. We went over, we sat down, showed her what the scripture said. She bowed her heart. She received Christ as Savior. Hey, can I tell you something? That's a start. A lot of people think, hey, I got saved. That's it. Gonna go to heaven. Settled. No, you just started. You just started. I remember the day when I received Christ as Savior. Man, I remember the day, 1979, when I went first time soul winning. First time soul winning. Passed out my first gospel tract about 3 days after I got saved. My pastor got up, he announced in church, we're going to have soul winning. I never heard that term before. Soul winning sounds something mysterious. Soul winning. I mean, you know, it sounds something like in a horror movie. Soul winning. Spooky. But he said, y'all to come out on Thursday night. We were running, I guess at that time, close to 1,000. I thought, man, everybody does what the preacher says. So he said, y'all to come out. I thought, hey, there's going to be 1,000 people show up. I better get there early. I mean, I want to get a seat. I want to learn what this soul winning is all about. I got there early. I was early. No other cars was there. But I was early. Yes, front row seat. Whatever this soul winning is, I'm going to learn. Front row seat, I'm going to do it. Waited around, time to start, pastor pulled up, a couple of other people pulled up, that was it. I'm so glad I started. I'm so glad that there was a time in my life where I took a challenge, where I took the word of God and said, I got to start somewhere. I've got to get out there and start something somewhere. I'm saying there has to be a time in your life where you start some things. I remember 1982, June the 26th, walked the aisle, surrendered to preach. The Wednesday night following that, preached my very first sermon, scared to death, but I started. But I started. I remember the first book I ever wrote. Man, it was terrible. Mrs. Wells and I was writing it. I lived in Brooklyn, New York, and we lived in a very small apartment. We started writing that book many years ago, Practical Helps for Personal Soul Winners and Training Soul Winners, back in 1984. And man, I remember starting to work on that, and we would do it, and then we would red ink it, and there was more red ink on the page for corrections than there was right words. But I started. There has to be a place that you're going to look back and say, I'm going to start. And by the way, you need to start some fresh things in your life every year. If not, you become dormant and you'll die. You got to add to that which is your faith. All right, now wait a minute. And so how is it that I finish my course? How is it that I run my course as a Christian? Statement number one, start your course. You got to start. Statement number two, then you run your course. Stay on track. Run your course. Here's what it says. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24, the Bible says, know ye not that they which run a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 25, the Bible says, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now it says, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. So what do? You decide you're going to just run. Remember Larry Brown in Augusta, Georgia. Larry got saved. Rough guy. He got saved. He came to church. And he said, Pastor, what do I do? Pastor said, you get baptized. He said, okay. He got baptized. After he got baptized, he came up to pastor and he said, okay, what's next? What do I do? He said, you start coming faithfully to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. He said, okay, I'll do it. Started coming faithfully Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, agitated the pastor to death. I mean, every time he would show up after church, it was always the same question. What do I do next? What do I do next? He had him out soul winning. He had him cleaning the building. He had him running a bus route, new believer. He said, what do I do next? What do I do next? What do I do next? Okay, do this, do this, do this, do this. Come on, are you listening to me? You enjoy the ball game more if you're playing in it. People come to church and they sit and say, feed me, feed me. You're going to get fat, dilapidated, and you won't get out of the pew. You got to get involved. All right? And so he kept going to his pastor saying, what do I do next? What's next? What do I do next? What's next? And the pastor had to think, I've got to do something to occupy his time. He's driving me nuts. So he said, Larry, you're in charge of the steeple check. You're going to be my steeple inspector. Really? Man, it sounded like an important position. He said, yeah, we got to make sure every Sunday morning the steeple doesn't fall. So every Sunday morning, what I want you to do, I want you to go in the front parking lot, look at the steeple. Make sure it's not leaning, getting ready to fall. So he thought, yeah, I've got his time occupied. So Larry comes, stand in front of the church, put his fingers up like this. He walk into church, past the pastor, and go, steeple's okay today, pastor. Wait, what is that? You say, that's insignificant. Hey, he was at church. He was doing something. You say, but that's something minor. It would be better to do something minor than something not at all. By the way, there's no minors in that which is the work of God. Somebody says, well, I'm straightening up a hymn book, and that's a minor thing. If you didn't do it, who would? Well, you know, I'm singing in the choir. I'm just part of 50 or so that sing in the choir. Nobody will miss me. If everybody thought that, the choir would be empty. You are important. Now, I say this. There has to be a time you start. There's got to be a time you stay on course. Hey, listen to this. Let me tell you about some people that was good at running at to what God had them to do. Abraham ran to meet the angels. Genesis chapter 18 and verse 2. He ran to fix up them something to eat. He ran. Genesis chapter 18 and verse 7. Abraham's servants ran, if you would please, to get Isaac a wife. Genesis chapter 24 and verse 17. Rebekah ran to get water for the camels. Genesis chapter 24 and in verse 20. She ran to tell her parents about Abraham's servant. Genesis chapter 24 and verse 28. Laban ran to meet the servant. Genesis chapter 24 and verse 29. Rachel ran to tell her father of Jacob. Genesis chapter 29 and verse 12. Laban ran to meet Jacob. Genesis chapter 29 and verse 13. Esau ran to be reunited with his brother. Genesis chapter 33 and verse 4. Samuel ran to Eli as he heard the voice of God. 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 5. David ran to his brothers to bring them that which was vessels to be able to eat. 1 Samuel chapter 17 verse 22. David ran towards Goliath, the Bible says, and the Philistines. 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 20, verse 48. He ran and he jumped on the giant and cut off his head. He ran. He ran. Facing opposition, he ran. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 51. Elisha ran to Elijah to serve him. 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 20. Jonah ran to Nineveh after being 3 days in the belly of the whale. Jonah chapter 3 and verses 3 and 4. You'll see the father of the prodigal son ran to give him forgiveness in Luke chapter 15 and verse 20. Zacchaeus ran to climb the tree to see Jesus in Luke chapter 19 and verse 4. Peter and John ran to the empty tomb in John chapter 20 and in verse 4. Philip ran to be a witness to that which is the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8 and verse 30. Rhoda ran to report Peter's miraculous escape from prison in Acts chapter 12 and verse 14. Hey, they ran because it was urgent. Let me ask you, when's the last time you ran to do anything for God? Hey, we'll run over here to get a new job. We'll run over here to buy a new house. We'll run over here to get that car that's on special. We'll run over here when there's a sale. We're going to run to the restaurant in a few minutes and be Christian-like as we trip the people in front of us to step in front of them to get the meat first. Hey, I'm telling you, there needs to be some times in your life when you just decide that God is important enough to run to. When God tells you to do it, you run and do it. Here's what it says. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10. The Bible says, and whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. And there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave. It says, whether thou goest. He said, do it now. While you've got the strength, do it now. There was a guy years ago, Mississippi. Well, I was a youth director. And one of our young people that was in the public school won first place in the spelling bee. He's going to Washington, D.C. to represent our state. First place. Man said, I'm concerned. He said, just want to make sure that this young man understands everything about the gospel. Plus, I want to, he was a new kid in our youth department. He said, I want to make sure he understands everything about the gospel. Why don't you go by, witness to him? We're going to do it anyway, but watch this. He said, I'll give him $1,000, help him on his trip. He's a wealthy individual. So I'll give him $1,000, help him on the trip. He said, give him $1,000. A man's gift maketh room for him. And he said, witness to him. I said, okay, I got a better idea. Why don't I drive you? He was in his 70s. I said, why don't I drive you by? You give him $1,000. I'll stand and pray. You witness to him. And you'll enjoy the reaping of that. Even more. Bowed his head. He said, Pastor, let me tell you. Preacher, let me tell you. He said, when I was a teenager, God called me into the ministry. He said, as I graduated high school, somebody told me I needed to go to a secular university because no preacher ought to stand behind a pulpit and preach without having the refinement of education if you're going to speak to educated people. Now, I believe that. But that's why we have Bible colleges. But he went to a secular university. He said, while I was in the secular university, they started giving me all this dogma stuff about the Bible not being real. He said, I fell into it. He said, I started to doubt that even God existed. He said, started not going to church faithful, not reading my Bible. It got worse from there. I graduated from the secular university, thought, hey, I graduated to be a teacher, got a good teaching degree. I'm going to go teach in the public school. Taught in the public school for 30 years. 30 years. Retired. He's standing there now, and he's starting to cry. He said, here's the sad thing about it all. I've missed the will of God all my life. All my life. God told me what to do, and I said no. He said, I decided to go my own way, thinking it was okay. And when I went my own way, thinking it was okay, I got into the wrong group, got educated the wrong way for what I was supposed to do. For what I was supposed to do. He said, and because I did that, got off track. Can I tell you something? When Peter backslid, let me help you. When Peter backslid, he stayed around the same town. He could look out the window and see where Jesus walked on the water. Tabernacle. He could look out and see the tabernacle. Stayed in the same area. He could look out and see, if you will, just by walking a little ways to see where Jesus fed the 5,000. Stayed in the same area. Best place for you to be when you're backslidden is in a godly, spiritual place. Can I tell you about Jacob? Jacob backslid, are you listening to me? Went 500 miles away from the will of God, and it took him 20 years to get back. Took him 20 years. Now I say, when you don't feel like coming to church, that's when you ought to run the church. Well, I just don't feel like getting up this morning, Pastor. What do I do? Run! Don't run from him, run to him. Don't run away from church. Don't run away from godliness. You decide that you're going to come to a place where you can hear the word of God and God can change your life forever. That's what God wants you to do. Here's what it says, John chapter 9 and verse 4. The Bible says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. I don't know when your night's going to come. I'm 52. I've been preaching for over 30 years. I've seen a lot of things, okay? In my 30 years of preaching, counseling, helping, and guiding people, I've seen some that quit. I'm talking about quit church, quit on God, lay their Bible down, walk away, never to return. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying this. You have to decide that you'll continue to run. You have to decide there's a work. Start asking God, God, what's the work you want me to do in my life? God, what's the work that you would have me to do? Oh, come on. Just don't come to church and be at church. Right. Preacher gets up there and preacher's preaching. You're at church. Hey, man of God's up there giving you something. Hey, pay attention to it. God's got something for you. Mrs. Bulkley went to, Dr. Mrs. Bulkley went to the Northeast. They went to Maryland, visited my home stomping ground. They said, man, this is where preacher's from. Pretty neat. Had a great trip. Rode through the hills. I love the Bulkleys, don't you? Rode through the hills. Man said, this is so neat. This is so neat. Came back. She said, preacher, I didn't know that Maryland had hills. I didn't know that it was so beautiful up there. Kind people. I didn't know all that. They came back, and they came back with an excitability about serving God. I said, when we're on vacation, we found, now, of course, he went and preached at Grace Baptist Church, Martinsburg, West Virginia, and for Brother Bush there, and so did a great job there. But they said, you know, we found that there's some great people and there's some great churches all around. May I tell you, you're not the only one. Now, we don't have the contemporary music and we don't have all that stuff. But can I tell you what? You've got a Bible. That Bible is true. You need that Bible. Your kids need that Bible. What's gonna change your life is that Bible. See, here's what we're understanding. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23, the Bible says, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord, not unto men. He said, man, don't go around looking for somebody to pat you on the back. By the way, you'll be disappointed. But didn't they see me do it? Where's my applause? In heaven. In heaven. You know, you can be nice. Okay, right? Understand. You can be nice to somebody. Hey, it's great to see you. I'm glad you're here. Nobody saw me. Hey, it's great to see you. I'm glad you're here. Oh, now they're coming down the hallway. Hey, it's great to see you. I'm glad you're here. Doesn't have to be that way. Why can't we do it as of unto the Lord? Well, I came to church and nobody patted me on the back and said, hey, it's great to see you. But God's glad you're here. Hey, the Bible, you're obeying the Bible. You're going to get rewarded for your faithfulness. What more do you need? I'm saying this. I'm saying a statement number one. Here's what we understand. We understand that you have to start your course. Statement number two, you have to run your course. Here I go. I'm done. You have to finish your course. God finished creating the heavens and the earth. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 1. Moses, the Bible says, finished building the tabernacle. Exodus chapter 39, verse 32. He finished writing the law. Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 24. Solomon finished building that which is the temple of God. 1 Kings chapter 6 and verse 9. You think about this. Ezra finished building the temple. Ezra chapter 6, verses 14 through 15. Nehemiah finished building the wall. Nehemiah chapter 6 and verse 15. Jesus hung on the cross and said in John chapter 19 and verse 30, it is finished. Hebrews chapter 12 and in verse 2, the Bible says he's called the author and finisher of our faith. Now, there will be things that will cause you to stumble, not to finish. There will be. You'll get some. I remember when I ran cross country, I'd run, and sometimes I'd hit a pothole. What it was doing in the middle of the woods, I have no idea. Who put it there? Sometimes potholes are put there by God. Man, I'd hit that pothole and my ankle would twist. Oh, you feel it starting to thrive. What do? You keep running because you're going to be stuck in the woods if you don't. But here's what happens. Some people in their life, they hit the potholes and they stop. They're in the middle of their desert, middle of their woods, and they say, it hurts so bad, I can't go forward. If you don't go forward, you never get out. One good thing about seeing the light at the end of the tunnel is it shows you there's an end of the tunnel. I'm saying this. I'm saying we understand that you have to start to pray, but don't quit. You have to continue to run. Finish your course. Man, you start reading your Bible. You say, preacher, I started this year, made it through 3 chapters, got discouraged, and I quit. Pick it up again. Open it up again. Start again. I went out soul winning, gave somebody a tract. They curled it up, threw it in my face. I got discouraged. Okay, pick yourself up, dust yourself off, get undiscouraged, get back out and do it. Well, I came to church and I just didn't get nothing out of it. What you look for is what you get. Come back to church, look for it harder. You'll find it. You'll find it. I came to church and boy, nobody was friendly to me. He that have friends must show himself friendly. Go ahead, get that big old pearly smile going. Stick your hand out in somebody's gut and they'll shake it. They'll shake it. Oh, come on. Here we go. Come here. Help me. Here we go. Watch this. Guy walk. Young guy. Young guy. Big young guy. Walking down the hallway. Okay. He's just going to try and walk by me. Here we go. Good to see you. Hey, it worked. So nobody was friendly to me. Here we go. Nobody was friendly to me. Good to see you. Hey, bounced off of me a little bit. But good to see me. Okay, wait a minute. Watch this. I'm saying, here's what we do. We just decide that we're going to be people. Finish your course. Called to preach. Finish your course. Called to be a teacher. Finish your course. Not time to get off the bus route. Time to stay on the bus route. Not time to quit soul winning. It's time to stay soul winning. You're discouraged as a mama. Go home. Get with God. Let God help you. Finish your course. You get poochy lip disease. You're down. You're discouraged. Kick yourself. Pick yourself back up. Get back in the service of God. Let God help you. God is greater than anything you face in the world, and God can help you. Now, I'm saying this morning, you have to decide you're going to finish your course. Nobody's going to finish it for you. All right, come here, Matt. Matthew, come here. Watch this. He gets down. Let me show you how Christians are. Get down. Lay down. You're down, down. You remember the story? Man was wounded, laying on the side. Remember? There came by a Levi. Passed by, Bible says, on the other side. Just ignored him. You got a rabbi. You've got a Samaritan. He comes, picks him up. By the way, that's unusual. Most people's not going to help anybody. Man, most people's going to do this. Hey, you fell. Duh. Laying there in pain. Are you hurt? Not breathing. Are you dead? Come on. That's how most Christians are. Most Christians don't even see people that fall. Here's what they do. Oh, I didn't see you. I'm sorry. Man, I was just so busy. I didn't mean to step on your head. I'm sorry. Is it not right? Is it not right? You miss church, nobody calls you. You say, well, they should have called me if I cared. You should have came to church because it was obeying God whether they called you or not. But shame on us if nobody cared enough to extend a hand. Shame on us. I'm not supposed to say, I saw you fell. Great was the fall thereof. Ooh. I tell you what, when I saw you down, I thought one thing, you deserve that. No, that's not the way we're supposed to be. Hey, man, I'm glad you got up. Glad you're going forward. Proud of you. You just keep it up. You keep it up. Matter of fact, here's what we'll do. We'll walk together. I'll help you finish. That's what we'll do. That's what we'll do. You got issues. You got hang-ups. Hey, let's go soul winning together. No problem that you've got is bigger than Bible truth that God cannot work out. Nothing. Let's just do it. Come on. Don't run from it. Run to it. Run to it. Hello? You can make it, can't you? Yeah. You know why? Because somebody walked beside him. That's what's needed. All right, watch this. Here we go. Statement number one. We're talking about the Christian course. What do? You start the course. Statement number two, you run the course. Statement number three, you finish your course. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 8, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. The patient spirit is better than a proud spirit. I've got to have it now. Probably don't deserve it if you feel that way. Well, let me tell you. Chill. Or I say take an aspirin. So somebody comes in and they go, I say, chill, take an aspirin. You'll be okay. That's what the doctors say. Winston Churchill, you ready? Closing statement. Winston Churchill, very notable, famous public speaker. Led England during a very traumatic time in her life to think victory and go forward. His alma mater said, I want you to come. I want you to give a speech. Thousands of people showed up. They think, Winston Churchill, great orator, leader, wisdom. Man, he's going to give a speech. I'm going to go and learn. It's going to be great. Thousands showed up. The amphitheater just packed. Prompt and circumstance, all the formalities, glorious introduction. He walks out behind the microphone. He pauses for 5 seconds, looks into the crowd, and he says, please, I challenge you. I commend you. I admonish you. If nothing else, be a finisher. And he walked away. That was it. Thousands came, traveled hundreds of miles, flew across England, said, we're going to hear him. This is the guy, the voice of the guy that led us to victory. And all he said, please, I challenge you, I commend you, I admonish you, if nothing else, be a finisher, and leaves. Say, what is that? That's the best challenge you could ever have. Be a finisher. Really believe with all my heart, you decide the end of your course. Here's what Paul said. He said, the time of my departure is at hand. I'm old, getting ready to check out, check into heaven. He said, Timothy, let me help you. He said, fight a good fight. He said, understand what I've done. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. What an example. The Christian ought to run the race.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at pbcmesquite.org.